So, prana, tattvas, and pranayama. Well, in the Gnostic Society introductory course, it's one of the more advanced lectures, you could say, in the program. But really, the main message I feel in this teaching, in this talk, is to understand what prana is, how and why we want to understand it, and how we can work with it. So we hear from numerous teachings in various traditions that the creation that exists, that we find ourselves in here, you know, whether we question our existence or not, it has unfolded, it has come into being through sound, through vibration. So we here have been sung into creation by the Elohim, also known as the creator gods. So through their voice and through vibration, things have manifested. So all the different aspects when you talk about creation, so both energy and what we call matter. So they're all various modifications or condensation of different vibrations. So much like we as humans have or hear a certain range of sounds that are perceptible to us, but then we see if we have an animal like a dog or a cat, often their ears will prick up, they'll hear things that we can't hear, they're more sensitive. So their perceptible range of hearing is different to ours. And so what that tells us is that all these different vibrations exist. Now, that's just the ones that we can hear. What about the waves, vibrations like radio waves or microwaves, mobile phone waves, tele-guided missiles? So all of these are waves or vibrations that exist and have a function. And but we can't hear them per se. We can measure them with equipment, and we know they exist because of the function they perform. Particularly mobile phone waves just amaze me, how you can send someone a message, and you know, through the internet or through just the normal phone, and then that message is transferred into a wave, reaches the receiver, and then is converted into text, and it's instant. It happens instantaneously. Well, obviously there's a short delay, but it's just amazing how these waves work, and we're surrounded by them all the time. So it's just something that we can reflect on in this talk. So prana is something that is quite simple to understand. Prana, in essence, is everything. So it's described as cosmic energy, vibration, electric motion, light and heat, universal magnetism, and it's the life that beats in every atom and in every sun. So from the very smallest atoms that make up the building blocks of who we are, and then to every sun, planet, star that exists in the cosmos, as grand as it is. Now, prana is related to ether, and ether is related to our vital body or our etheric body. And as the word implies, the vital body relates to our vitality. So we see that prana has a direct link to our vitality, and that is like our energy levels, how much force we have, how much energy, how healthy we are, also is related to our vitality and our vital body. And so these are all irrelevant on many different levels. Very most importantly, you could say it relates to our well-being, our physical well-being, which in one way or another, does affect our happiness to be healthy. So our vital body gives life to our physical body. It is the energy or the force that animates us. So if we took out our vital body at that point, we wouldn't be alive. Our physical body without the vital body is not a living body. So the vital body contributes to the functioning of many things, particularly organic assimilation, so the food we eat, the digestion, towards elimination. It helps with the reproductive processes, also has a role in our sensory perception, how we receive impressions and what we do with them, processing them, and also the faculties of memory, imagination and willpower. So that memory aspect is quite interesting. I'll touch on that a bit later in the show. So when the vital body weakens, our vitality diminishes. Eventually, inevitably, our physical body depletes in strength, and that's when illnesses arrive. So it's in our best interest to maintain a healthy vital body and consequently a healthy physical body. And we know that the power of thinking, our thoughts also promote well-being and our emotions as well. But in tonight's talk, it's more of a focus on the vital or the etheric. So, as I said, the vital body is synonymous with our etheric body. I like the term, I prefer the term vital because it relates to something that is vital to us, whether we are aware of it or not. A lot of the instinctive processes in the body happen without our conscious awareness. They just happen on their own. And the vital body and all of our inner bodies are similar in that respect. But we definitely need them. And then I wanted to talk a bit about ether, because ether is a particular modification of the prana, and is very is a term that's well used in our culture, in our society. So I'll just go to a music break. I've chosen a track from a CD, Tous les Martins du Monde. I believe that's in French, and I apologize for my poor pronunciation. So we'll be back to continue talking about the ether. So ether is a condensation or modification of prana, and at least when we try and understand it in the esoteric studies. So as I mentioned before the music break, ether is also used in chemistry. It's a solvent, often referred to as diethyl ether, for all you chemists out there. It's also, and I should say this, this source of information is from Wikipedia. So ether is also one of the prophets in the Mormon religion or the Church of Latter-day Saints. Yeah, I didn't read much about it, but the ether derives from athira, which means the one who left a trace, the one who left his mark or left a record. In all Semitic languages, it means to leave a track, to trail somebody, which is really interesting because when we talk about the ether and the Akashic records, they are leaving a trace of everything that we do, everything we think and feel. It leaves a mark in our etheric body. So it's quite a very apt definition of that word. So ether is also referred to as the fifth element or the quintessence. And also the term or concept of ether has been used in the science realms to help explain different phenomena like radioactivity or magnetic fields. and it was often proposed as a substance which particles, which explained how particles like light could travel in what is supposed to be a vacuum, like in space or wherever there is a vacuum. And it has also been used to help explain dark matter, which if we're not familiar with the term, is, you know, the matter that we see as dark but isn't actually nothing. It's matter that's dark and is said to comprise something like up to 90% of our universe, our cosmos, which is a pretty large amount of something that we don't really quite know what it is, or at least in my understanding. And then when we think of all the planets and suns that we do know and just how large they are and how far away they are from us, it's really quite mind-blowing, and I think it's something that everyone should be aware of, just really how small our part of the universe is. I mean, you know, we live and exist in our own physical body, in our own mind, in our own emotions, but there's so much more. So all of these scientists that tried to explain and use the term ether were eventually thought it was disregarded with the Einstein theory of relativity emerging. However, there was a scientist that existed whose name was Sir Oliver Lodge. He was a great British scientist, and he's known to have said, "It is the ether that gives place through the diverse modifications of its equilibrium to all phenomena of the universe, from the impalpable light to the formidable masses of the worlds." So he was very much an advocate that ether existed, and he, just to give some background, did a lot of scientific work on electromagnetic radiation, and this convinced Sir Oliver Lodge that an ether existed and that it filled the entire universe. So nothing was separate from this ether, this universal substance, you could say. And then when we talk about trying to connect with the universe or the source, when we feel that feeling of oneness, it's very, very reasonable to think that it's a substance like ether, or even the prana, which is just a certain modification, condensation of ether that exists. So Sir Oliver Lodge, he was into spiritualism, which is where people communicate with disincarnated beings or souls. And the reason he got into it is because he wanted to communicate with a son that he had who died. And he wrote quite a lot of literature on his discoveries and suffered a lot of criticism. He also had a theory or claimed that, because he was a Christian spiritualist, he wrote that the resurrection of the Christ in the Bible was actually his etheric body becoming visible to his disciples. So I thought that was something interesting, a different way of looking at the resurrection. So that was Sir Oliver Lodge, and he didn't really buy into that Einstein's theory of relativity took away from the existence of ether, the universal connecting principle. So the Master Samael, founder of the modern Gnostic movement, he writes that whatever name you give to this substance will neither add or subtract from its reality. He says, most of the time, men, or not just men, people, scientists, are only fighting due to a matter of terms. So it's like talking about the same thing, but wanting to name it different things or explain it in different ways. And I find that often happens with talking about esoteric or spiritual topics, especially because there's so many different ways to understand it, and a lot of different traditions and religions have been given to us to, which is a really good thing, because then we can find the way that speaks to us, that speaks to our consciousness, that doesn't, it's not like one form of the teaching is going to help everyone. I mean, we've seen that there's so many different schools and teachings, but it's essentially directing us to the same thing, to the same virtuous qualities, to feeling freedom, to feeling love, to feeling well-being. Yes, so at the end of the day, our ether really is what is the driving force for life and all of the physical chemical processes of life wouldn't be able to exist without the ether in our system, in the world, in the cosmos. Okay, so now I wanted to talk about the tattvas. And tattvas can get a bit complicated, so I'm trying to keep it simple and in a way that we can all understand and relate to in our self, in our lives. So tattvas are a particular vibration of the ether. So you can see where there's this pathway we're following that started with the prana, it actually moved to the akash, and then it is the ether, the etheric. And then there was a quote I wanted to read from the Master Samael. He says, as the man is being born inside the intellectual animal, extraordinary changes occur. Certain powers and certain magnificent faculties are awakened. The integral man, the unitotal man, reaches the point of having a perfect dominion over the tattvas. And what are the tattvas? They are vibrations of the universal ether. So when he says man, he means like the perfected human or the master that either man or female can attain. So I like that quote because it shows that the role of the tattvas there. Now, the best way to understand what they are is by the four elements, or really actually it's the five elements, the ether, the fire, the water, the air and the earth. So tattvas are what are before the fire, before water, before air and before the earth. So they like sort of bring it into being. And these four elements also work through our body, through the different tattvas. Now, I want to talk about the four elements in the body. So not including the fifth element, the ether. But the way we can understand the four elements, I'm going to use an example from Dion Fortune's Mystical Kabbalah. She relates it to a solid, liquid, gas. So the solid relates to the earth, the liquid relates to water, and the gas relates to air. And the fire, so in our body, the fire is the electricity or what is required during metabolism. So when we metabolize food, the carbohydrate, we need oxygen, and then the reaction occurs, that fire, and then we create the energy and the carbon dioxide. So very simply put, the air in our body, we're breathing in oxygen and we're exhaling carbon dioxide. So that's the air element. Then the water, well, there's lots of water in our body. Heaps. We have the cerebrospinal fluid, we have the lymphatic system, we have the blood and all of our cells, the cellular liquid in each of our cells. So lots of water there. And then we have the earth. The earth, we have proteins, enzymes, the chromosomes, mitochondria, the bone. All of these things are the earth element. So all of these exist in our body, and therefore the tattvas, which are help to influence or to create the elements, are also present within us, more on the energetic level, you could say. So the tattvas can have or do have a profound effect on our physical and chemical processes that occur, but they also affect our chakras. And our chakras are like our inner senses. They are the vital bodies, astral bodies, like the dream body, and they give us certain inner faculties or inner senses beyond the five physical senses. So now the chakras have affecting the, sorry, the tattvas affect the chakras, and then the chakras actually affect our hormones as well. And so our hormones are affecting our chromosomes or our DNA. And then our DNA is affecting our gametes or the DNA that we're able to pass on to our offspring. And so you see what I'm trying to talk about is this pathway that starts at prana and ends in our DNA. And that's something that if we understand that connection, then we can work with the prana, and it will influence us. It will help us. It can affect in a positive manner our DNA. And our DNA is what encodes the different proteins and different enzymes, different constituents of our body. And so, I want to talk a bit about this towards the end of the show, because it's something that I thought would be interesting, epigenesis. So let's just go to another music break. I was talking about prana, tattvas, and now I want to talk about pranayama. And obviously it's going to be interrelated to the first two aspects, the prana. Particularly, so prana exists in everything, whatever we call it. If we call it the ether, if we call it the universal oneness, if chemistry calls it electricity, or what attracts or keeps different atoms attracted to each other and molecules together, it's all essentially the same type of energy. And so pranayama, which we've talked about before, is actually the control of the prana. So how we can control it. And so prana, as said, is in everything. It's the life that beats in all atoms. Mainly when we work with pranayama, we work with the prana that's in the breath. And it's through the consciousness, through the concentration on the prana, that we can work with it and essentially release it to allow the potency of the prana to work within us in a beneficial type of way. And so we will work to do that in the practice that we do tonight. And so if we know how to wisely and consciously control the prana, then we're going to have a profound effect on our vital body, our physical body. We will be able to develop the chakras, balance our hormones, and even to positively influence our DNA. This becomes really useful when we want to change, when we want to create new circumstances in our life. Because often people might think, oh, we are what we are, and nothing else. But, you know, it's quite a limiting point of view, perspective, and pretty unimaginative. So creating new circumstances in our lives, we can refer to as epigenesis. So I wanted to talk a bit about that, because it's really quite interesting to create things that are new in our life. Now, it's said that everything that happens to us when we're unconscious or asleep is done so mechanically, as in things just happen to us. We don't know why, can't control it, and then consequently we can't control how we react to these circumstances, and then we end up just being trapped and we feel powerless and not being able to do anything. And that's when we can feel stuck and not feel we can change or have a positive influence in our life. But eventually, when we start to realize is in us that is causing these events in our life, we can stop these actors from performing their same role day in, day out, and then we can start to create new circumstances and not just the ones that we are used to and just keep happening to us. And so this takes a lot of time and work on the self, but eventually we start to come out of these mechanical patterns of behavior, and then we start to create new circumstances. So there's a real esoteric or psychological application here. And then I thought it was interesting because when we think of epigenesis, perhaps we think about epigenetics or behavioral epigenetics. And this, or epigenetics, is the study of the field of genetics of cellular and physiological phenotypic trait variations that are caused by external or environmental factors. And so what it is, just simply, it's the study of how things in our environment can switch genes on, switch genes off, how it affects how the DNA in us is expressed, how it's transcribed and translated into the various proteins and enzymes that the DNA encodes. So behavioral epigenetics is where we try to understand how the expression of our genes is influenced by different experiences and the environment. So there's studies that have been done to show that there is the expression of our genes, which ones are expressed, which ones are not, can be influenced by certain factors. And yeah, so it has been shown to happen. And also we can affect our own DNA and our own epigenetics when we work with the prana, and we work to control the prana through the breath, through the transmutation of our creative energies. All these changes we can support, encourage to work towards within us. So we should never feel that we're stuck, powerless, can't do anything, can't change, if we're in a negative situation. There's always something that we can work towards. So hopefully this talk can provide some inspiration to be able to do that. So that's really all I wanted to say about the prana tattvas and pranayama. It's more in the practice. Like, there's only so much theory you can talk about. It's in practice, in action, in doing.